Let's pray. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, 2022 is here. It's the first opportunity I get to say Happy New Year to the church. Last week at this time, I was on my way home after a 14-hour shift, as well as you were coming to church. So Happy New Year to all the church. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and a lovely New Year's Eve. I don't know whether you've had a party or you spent the night with family and friends. We've had a little bit of a party at our house, just with a friend, the friend who is part of our old bubble as a single father. And it was a great night with my wife, children, and friend. But the end of a year also presents us always with a very different kind of opportunity, one of quiet reflection. I remember the many, many New Year's Eves back in Romania, spent in Romania, where the custom in the church was always to get together for reflection. So we used to gather with family and friends as a church family for food and fun and fellowship. And as we came to the end of the year, to the moment when we went from one year to the other, we always stopped and reflected on the year that was passing. We always stood before the Lord and we individually wound back the tape of the year. And I remember very clearly many, many times, these occasions were like death to me. I looked back. I wept with regret and I wept with joy over what has passed, what has happened throughout the year. It was always a milestone for me as I was passing from one year to the other. I remember one particular New Year's Eve. We were up in the mountains in a wooden cabin log, in a log cabin. And just before the stroke of the midnight, we went out, all of us, it was about 15, 20 of us, and we looked up to the sky, and the guy who was leading the devotion said, "Guys, look up at the sky, and just imagine that at the stroke of midnight, God comes back. What if Jesus returns on the stroke of midnight? What if he has counted that there will be 2010 years post-Christ? Are you ready now to go?" I remember it very, very clearly. And I must say, there is great value in doing that from time to time. In a world that doesn't think about death, in a world that doesn't stop, there is great advantage in having a trial at your own dying. Having a trial or run at your own death. There is great benefit in rehearsing for the final scene that every single person in here will face at one point. We can so easily get into the deceitful mentality of subconscious immortality that we think that we'll always be around. And then when tragedy or death strikes, we're paralyzed and shocked beyond words. So easily we assume that things will always be the way they are at the moment. We will always be ticking along the way that we are at the moment. And live life, health, and live taking life, health, family for granted. And yet the teaching of the Bible, and I have left my little flicker, so I will look to you, Roy, for flicker. And yet, the teaching of the Bible is that man is like a breath. His days, if we have the next one, please. Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. And again, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And the antidote of that tendency is prayer. Psalm 90, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Not so long ago, I was reading the last famous words of famous people, or last words of famous people, and quite a few of them shocked me. Caligula, the Roman emperor, who was emperor in between 12 AD and 41 AD, said these very words as he was being murdered: I will still live. Madness. Salvador Dali, the Spanish surrealist painter, his real name was Salvador Domingo Felipe Jaquito Dalí e Domingue. What an unkind mother. He himself said, I do not believe in my own death. Elvis Presley, the great pop idol, okay, I won't. In response to his fiancée's call, don't fall asleep in the bathroom. We tick along like everything will be the same always. And yet when tragedy strikes, we're not ready for it. There is much sense in looking back and reflecting on the past. And that is exactly what we have here in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 8. In fact, I'll ask Chris to bring me that little stick on the floor that I left there so it makes easier the flicking. Let me paint a little bit of picture to this 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. It was about 66, thank you, or 67 AD. And Paul is an aged man. He's an old man. He's completed his fourth missionary journey, during which he wrote his first letter to his great friend and spiritual son, Timothy. He's also written to Titus, and he's in prison now under Emperor Nero. Well, prison, he's really in a dungeon compared to his first imprisonment when he was in a rented house. So he's in a dungeon. He is lonely, apart from Luke. And in fact, for a long, long time, he was so lonely, no one knew where he was. And the most important thing is that he knows, Paul, as he's writing these words, he knows that he will soon die. And as a last letter, he writes to his dear son, a spiritual son, Timothy, his last letter. And he teaches him, he encourages him, he charges him with things. And then just before the end of his letter to his dear spiritual son, he writes these words. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. In the face of imminent death, Paul looks back upon his life and draws a conclusion. This is a guy who's lived a good few years, who's gone around a few corners, and he looks back upon his whole life and he draws one conclusion. And astonishingly, the conclusion is, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And as we have come to the end of 2021 and has just come into 2022, can I ask you, can you say the same of yourself in 2021? Can you say those words that in 2021 you have fought the fight, you have finished the race, and you have kept the faith? Perhaps in order to answer that question, whether you have done that or not in 2021, we need to understand what Paul exactly means by this statement here in red. I fought the fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. there's our statement. Now, the central pillar, as I study this passage, the central pillar and the main phrase is, I have kept the faith. That last one. I have kept the faith. Fighting the good fight and finishing the race is described what it's involved in keeping the faith. But the main thing is keeping the faith. So what does it mean to keep the faith? What does it mean? Well, the Bible teaches us that faith is something that we're not born with. Faith is a gift of God. If you're little children here, you need to know that. Faith in God is not something that we're born with. Faith is something that God gives to us as a gift. We don't naturally have faith in God. We don't naturally believe in God. But God, by His grace, He opens our eyes and He rescues us from our sins. In this process, faith in Jesus Christ is given to us. Now, this faith doesn't just mean that we believe that God exists. Even Satan believes that God exists, but he doesn't have faith in God. It also means that we believe everything that God has said. We believe God and His Word, everything in His Word. You know, there are so many people that, and so many Christians that exist in our churches that believe that God exists. They believe God, Jesus, cross, salvation, heaven, hell. But when it comes to believing that it is okay to give generously because God will provide, their faith is crippled. When it comes to believing that it is okay to sacrificially help to the point where you end up worse because God honors that, their faith is crippled. When it comes to believing that God is able to satisfy with His love and presence to the point that one doesn't need to be sexually fulfilled and satisfied, their faith is crippled. Faith in Jesus Christ means faith in His existence, in the cross, in salvation, and in everything He has said and done. So when Paul says, I have kept the faith, I think he means he had faith in everything that God has said and done. And we see this in Paul's life, don't we? Paul wasn't a guy who lived a comfortable life. He didn't eat my tasty food. He didn't have the financial security I have. He didn't have the lovely warm house that you and I share and have. And yet he has been used in ways amazing in the work of the gospel. And not only that, but he has experienced peace, joy, and contentment that we may not experience. That is transcending to human understanding. Why? Because he had faith in everything that God has said and has done. Everything. So then, have you kept the faith in 2021? When we put a bit of flesh on those bones, have you kept the faith in that way? As we have come to the end of 2021, as you reflect back and look back on 2021, have you kept the faith? And this is what I suggest, that even at the beginning of 2022, we look back and analyze the year that has gone through those lenses. As I've already said, not so long ago, I spent a little time reading the last words of famous people. And I was very saddened by one particular, by this guy's. George Best, whether you're Ed or Laz, whether you support Reading or Man United, it doesn't matter. Great guy he was. Great football player. George Best. In an interview shortly before his death, he said these very words. sorry. He had these very words, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Wow. In an interview shortly before his death, same words, I have no regrets. On his deathbed, he somehow recanted on those lines of no regret. And at his request, the News of Word printed this photo of him in his hospital bed, on his deathbed, with the message, don't die like me. What a tragedy. What a terrible thing to say. Don't die like me. So if you are keen not to die like George Best did, if you're keen to keep the faith in 2022, perhaps in ways that maybe you haven't kept the faith in 2021, I just want to look at three things that Paul says here as he looks back upon his life and draws this conclusion to see what it means to keep the faith in 2022. What does it actually mean in practical terms as we're looking forward to a whole new year, and perhaps when we get to the end of 22 and we look back to 2022, if the Lord allows us to get there, to say the words, we have kept the faith in 2022. What does it involve? And I want to look at three short things here in Paul's letter to Timothy that he said about keeping the faith. And the first thing that Paul says is, keeping the faith is a hard battle. In his life conclusion, Paul uses two pictures here, if you can notice. He says, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I think Paul uses these two little pictures with intention. Fighters get hit. They get punched in their faces. Fighting is not easy. Those who race, those who run, they push their bodies to extremes. Both pictures imply great degree and effort and hardship. Great degree of effort and hardship. In fact, the English transliteration, the word-by-word translation of those phrases that Paul used is, I have agonized the agony. As Paul looks back upon his life, he says, in my life, I have agonized the agony. Paul implies here and in other places that the fight of faith is a hard battle. Keeping the faith is not easy. What we're talking about here this morning is not flippant. It's very, very hard. He says in other places, he writes, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And then another place in Philippians, he says these words, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul always knew that the fight of faith is a hard battle. And I believe many of us know that as well, don't we? The struggle to give in a materialistic world. The struggle to share in an individualistic world. The struggle to quietly and regularly pray in a world that's all about what the eye can see and nothing about the unseen spiritual things. The struggle of man to resist temptation in a pornified culture. Tim Chester, in his book Captured by a Better Vision, says these words, living porn-free in our culture is like living as an alcoholic in a world where they use a complimentary beer to sell anything and everything. Isn't that so true? Let's be realistic, guys. That's the world we live in. And so, the fight of faith to give, to share, to pray, to stay poor, to stay pure, is a hard, hard battle. And we must not lose sight of that. You and I need to be prepared and aware of that constantly. But why? Why is it such a hard battle? And the answer is because we have bad enemies. In this hard battle, we have bad enemies. Both, using those analogies that Paul uses, both in a fight and in a race, one has opponents, competitors, enemies, depending on the activity. And in the same way, in the fight of faith, we will also have enemies. And it is really important that the sooner we realize who those enemies are, the better we are and the better chances we have at fighting the good fight and winning the fight. When I was up in a full-time pastoral ministry up in Yorkshire, every year I used to organize a paintball day with the young people, 20, 30 of us. And I don't know if you've ever done it or seen it done. The group gets split in two. You get given paintballs and paint guns. And one group gets locked to the one end of the forest and the other one to the other. And then a big whistle goes and then the fight is on. And usually people, you know, run. They hide behind trees, you know, in the bushes. And most of the time you're not actually shooting. Most of the time you're studying the battlefield. You're just sitting there. And when we went in January, February, up in Yorkshire, I mean, you know, Arctic temperatures up in Yorkshire, you know, nothing like lovely, sunny Suffolk, even in January, Arctic, you know, you used to sit there in the snow, kind of just studying the battlefield. Where is the enemy? That was the main thing. The way you won the fight is by quietly studying to know where the enemies are. Knowing who your enemies are and where they are, it's vital for the spiritual fight of faith. And Paul in his writings talks about two great enemies. One of them is Satan. And concerning Satan, the devil, this is what Paul says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, our daily struggle is against our bosses and managers and other people, maybe neighbors, family members. But if we really see life how we should see it, our struggle in this world is not against flesh and blood. It's not against managers. It's not against bad neighbors. It's not against awkward family members. It's against something much higher. Spiritual beings. Satan, the evil one. But then making it a little bit more down to earth and tangible, this is where you may want to give a hand squeeze to the person next to you. Our second enemy is ourselves. This is our natural inclination, our old self. And concerning the old self, Paul says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So Paul warns us that in the fight of faith, we have enemies. We have enemies. We have two bad enemies: Satan and ourselves. And we should not be caught by surprise by these. And lastly, Paul says a thing about this fight of faith, and that is the most wonderful thing that Paul says, is that it's a good fight. Did you actually notice that whenever Paul talks about the fight, he doesn't just talk about the fight, but he talks about the good fight? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And by doing this, Paul recognizes that what we are doing here in this life, the hard battle in which we have enemies, is actually, yes, a hard battle. Yes, it is one that we will have enemies in, but it is a good fight. The Greek word there, kalas, it means actually beautiful. It's a beautiful fight. It's a profitable, excellent, delightful. It's a noble fight. It's not a boring, dumb, ridiculous, senseless fight. It is a beautiful fight. Paul communicates here something of his relationship to Christ. He says that it is worthy, this fight is a worthy cause, because he is fighting for and on behalf of Christ. There's been a lot of talk this weekend about football. Maybe like every weekend. Imagine yourself if you were a football player, and if your dad was watching you play. I remember when my dad came over now and again, and I was playing up in every Friday evening on West Yorkshire. Playing just took a completely different level, you know. Playing just for myself and the teammates, it was one thing. But when my dad was there on the other side of the glass and watching, I always ran faster and jumped higher and wanted to score more goals, because daddy was watching. Just imagine if daddy was the coach who trained you, who equipped you, who helped you be the person you are. Would you not want to put on the best performance to make him as proud as he can be? You'd want to please him, to make him proud. Well, isn't that the same thing with the fight of faith? As I said at the beginning, faith is given to us by God. None of us, whether you're young or old, none of you were born with faith. If you begin this year as a Christian, it is because that's been gifted to you by God. And if you are a little one here and haven't gone out there, then try and spend 2022 inquiring about that faith. How can I get it? How can I make it my own? Do I just believe that God exists and that's the end of it? Or is there something more to make that faith my own, to personally believe in Jesus, so that when I sin, I can run to him and say, I'm sorry, Jesus. And if you are thinking of death, what may come at some point, you can say, I will be with Jesus for an eternity. Faith is a gift given to us. Let's run in 2022 so that we will make our Heavenly Father, who has gifted us this faith, a proud daddy. You know that Abba phrase in the Bible that doesn't mean father. Abba in the Bible means daddy. Let's make our heavenly daddy awfully proud of us in 22. It's a hard fight. We will have enemies, but it's a good fight. Let's fight the good fight and keep the faith in 2022. Amen. Amen.